Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into program number 352. If you would like a copy of it, please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, and there's no charge for postage and handling as well. Sharon will tell you four different ways how to receive a copy at the end of the program. We have some Bible reading today, testimonies, music, and exhortation on the Word of God. Right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to open the windows of heaven and outwardly and inwardly anoint this program. Father, in Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord. We praise and thank your glorious, holy, eternal name. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Open the windows of heaven and pour yourself into me, Lord, that I may be able to let you use my body, my mouth, to say exactly what it is that you want to say on this program, and open up the minds, the hearts, and the souls of everyone to receive what it is that you want to tell them, that their souls might be saved, that they may be strengthened with faith, and therefore the body of Christ, which is the pearl of great price, Lord, that you found and you gave your entire life to, can be strengthened and become the fullness of you by being that which you spoke of in the first chapter of Ezekiel and all throughout the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament as well. Lord, that I may give you all the praise, the glory, and the thanks, and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, this is me singing for you, Stand By Me. This is me with the Stamps Quartet and J.D. Sumner.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that the Lord is the giver of faith. It's for sure. I never believed in the afterlife. I didn't believe in Jesus or God. I heard about them, but I never believed. And it's for sure I didn't believe any people that are preaching. Today, some of the people are preaching a lot better than they did. I don't know if it's from the messages that the Lord has given me in regard to faith. This is something that we need to do, is keep planting the seed, the Word of God, into ourselves, into our heart. And we need to keep planting the seed, which is God, the Word of God, into people's hearts so something can grow out of those people's hearts. In other words, God must grow out of them. Christ must grow out of them. So I've been speaking in regard to Christ and the church. This part of the word helps us to see that we are the pearl of great price to the Lord, for which the Lord gave everything that he had. This pearl of great price refers to also the church, because Jesus found this wife of his bride, and there's just a select few out of the world that will receive him, because people love to live according to what they want in this world. And we're going to go into some of the scriptures today in the book of Revelation that will tell you that a lot of the churches seem to be doing a very good job, but the Lord keeps saying, that's not enough. So we'll read into that, but first we have a couple of testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
From Zambia, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Lamo, I came across one of your tracts which dealt in detail with the blessings.
Incidentally, some of these readers here don't realize that people don't know what a tract is. She's talking about a piece of literature that the Lord gave me. It's we distribute them all over the world in different languages as well, and they're called tracts. TRACTS. Okay. Then what?
Which dealt in detail with the quote blessings unquote of the Pope of Rome. You stressed the fact that whenever the Roman pontiffs blessed individuals or nations, a curse fell upon them. According to your tabulation, it seems true that curses affected those who the popes blessed. And I thought to myself, who is this courageous man who speaks about the president of Vatican City without trepidation? God really answers the prayers of his children, even some that are unarticulated. Soon after reading the tract, I planned in my heart to write you so that I could also receive my personal copy of Beware of the Pope's Blessings. But last Saturday, someone visited me and brought me some Olamo newsletters, which I began devouring that night. I was really encouraged to be a witness for Christ, and I really enjoy witnessing. I need your prayers very much. My heart is for the old-time religion. When it comes to the Acts of the Apostles, I want to be an example to the body of Christ. How glad I shall be when this dream comes true. My deepest longing is to become as holy as the true believers in the New Testament.
Well, we have to be holy. We're going to be reading scriptures on that. I don't know if it'll be today or not, but you must be holy as the Lord is holy. And anyone that says that nobody is a liar. You're just listening to the devil if you hear that. And if you believe that nobody is perfect, you've received leaven. Or see, when the Lord the Lord talks about the sower goes out to sow. Well, what he's doing is referring to himself. The Lord is the actual sower of the seed. When he first came into this world, we have the four Gospels, where his word is the actual seed. Yeah, he is the word of God. He is this the Lord. He's God himself. And he, in the beginning was the word. In other words, in the beginning was the seed. And we have to have that seed, God, the truth, the word, sown into us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. So, in the beginning was the seed, and the seed was with God, and the seed, as a matter of fact, was God. And So the seed is the word, and the Lord states that in the parable of the sower. And then the seed, or God, came into the world. The word came into the world, became flesh, and dwelt among us, and poured his heart out, poured the seed out into the world, into his disciples, into and even poured the baptism of the Holy Spirit into him, breathed the Holy Spirit into them, so that he was creating for himself a bride, a church, a body, a temple for him to dwell in, a tabernacle or a building. And this building is made out of precious gold. In other words, we have to be like gold because we're tried in the fire, which means that we, if he was persecuted, then we are too. You hear all kinds of different preachers today saying that we're supposed to be enjoying the good life. Well, the good life actually is experiencing the life of Christ. Now, the life of Christ, if we're going to experience that life, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Amen?
Amen.
And these people are preaching all the blessings of God on people that are sitting in churches that are dormant. They're not really born again of the Spirit. And if they are, they're not doing anything for the Lord but listening to people say smooth things unto them, to where they say, Jesus was rich, he had a house, he was in a house. He went into a house and was preaching in there and was healing people. You know, they just twist the scriptures. What they are is like Satan sowing tares after the Lord has preached the good word. Then immediately cometh Satan to take the good word out of people's hearts and also to sow tares or weeds into it. Or this woman in the parables of the sower, right after there, there's six other parables, and it talks about this woman that is kneading leaven. Now, leaven, when it goes into bread, this is like a type or a figure, a symbol of sin in the Bible. So this woman is symbolic of the whore of Revelation, the Roman Catholic Church, because she has kneaded in leaven, in other words, all kinds of false doctrine into the actual truth of the Word of God. And she calls herself a Christian, but everything such like praying to Mary and hundreds of different fallacies are the leaven, and she's leavening them in, or pouring this leaven in and kneading it in. And so you've got all these different false doctrines, and I'll be getting into that in another message soon. And like, for instance, the type of holiday that people celebrate for the Lord's birthday, which they call Christmas. There's no such a holiday like that in the Bible. And what it does is distracts. The true Christian is every day it would be Christmas to them, because we need to have no leaven in us whatsoever. It's like the parable of the seed, the little mustard seed that's sown into the ground, and then it comes up as an herb, and then all of a sudden it turns into a tree. Well, herbs never turn into trees, because it's the same thing as the false doctrine. Once churches become so structured and huge, like the Roman Catholic cult, or the church, I'll be nice, then the fowls of the air, every doleful bird, lives in its branches, and it's good for nothing anymore. Yeah, but we must stay meek and lowly like the Savior, like little herbs are... that way we don't want to ever turn into like these huge, monstrous, organized religions. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's read some more there.
It is apparent that your newsletters can lead me into holiness. I am therefore requesting you to send me a box of literature having assorted materials, which I intend to share with pastors, evangelists, serious-minded believers, and others that the Holy Spirit will lead me to.
See, that's what I'm saying about being holy. If you stay small, the Lord is the one. Actually, what we're supposed to do is die. Our old life has to die, and we're not to do anything good or evil, but we're to allow ourselves to be mortified by the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Spirit to do the work in and through us. In other words, we're doing the work. He's doing the work in us, and he has to use us because we're his body for him to work in, not us. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not to organize the Christian life. We know what the Lord is leading us to do. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, we know exactly what to do at all times. And people are saying, you know, that they have to do this and do that. Yes, we do. As the Holy Spirit leads us, though, only that way. Now, keep going.
In our church, I lead in worship as well as Bible studies. With your materials, I am bound to lead my church and community into revival. I long to hear from you as soon as possible. May God protect your life and your family from terrorism, death, and false accusations. God bless you with great finances to spread his word and to help meet people's genuine needs. I will be looking forward to hearing from you. Yours in Christ's service, Andrew, from Bala, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, so the Lord has given all of his benefits, you know. The fullness of the Lord lives in us when we're living the church life. There can't be any fullness for us if we're not in communication with the church members. And like in the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, it shows that the body and Christ lives in the midst of the church. That's what it's like, the middle of the wheel within the wheel. And so the church is the wheel or the building that the Lord lives in, and he is in the midst of the building. We're the building, the body, the temple of God, and he lives in our midst. It's like the seven candlesticks in the book of Revelation. The Lord is walking in the midst of the churches. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that, it just confirms itself all the way in the Old Testament, clear into the New. If we're going to go with Christ, then we must eat Christ. Christ, in the book of Exodus, when they were leaving Egypt, had to be in them. And so they had to kill a lamb, which is symbolic of the Lamb of God. And they took a portion of him, and they had to eat the body of Christ, or the symbol of the body of Christ, while they were standing up, and as they had to leave quickly. And so there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And the pearl of great price, well, you know, we'll go into all these different parables later, but go ahead and finish off.
The next letter's from Concepcion, Chile. Reverend Pastor Lamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. From this corner of the world, the southern part of Chile, I greet you in the love of Christ, wishing wonderful blessings on you and on your worldwide ministry, your congregation, the body of Christ, and on your personal well-being and life. I am Roberto, a preacher and an evangelist who goes to remote areas and indigenous territories south of my country. With God's help, I also carry the gospel to hospitals, plazas, fairs, and markets in cities. Therefore, for this purpose, I ask you to send me your extremely valuable literature, Bibles, and your book, Messiah, in Spanish, for the purpose of distributing it prayerfully so that the Spirit of God can touch lives so they can be born again. John chapter 3, verse 5. God does not wish anyone to perish. A very humble brother gave me your newsletter. I understood after reading it that there is a special wisdom given to you by the Holy Spirit. No telling how many souls will thank you and God for this blessed light which your writings reflect. They go straight to the heart. We anxiously wait your materials. Signed, Roberto, from Concepcion, Chile, South America.
Okay, now without any further ado, Sharon, let's read from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Because, there's just so many messages that the Lord gives me that I really want to give them all at the same time. So I give little bits of each one of them. Start out right away, and let's just move right along.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him.
Okay, so God gave us the revelation of Jesus Christ because he revealed to us that Jesus is God. God revealed to us, so the revelation of that God gave to us about Christ is that he's the Word of God. The revelation that God gave to us of Jesus Christ is that all things were created by him and for him, and that by him he upholds everything by his Spirit. The Lord reveals to us that Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, that he is the Word of God, and that he came into the world in the flesh, and that he died for our sins, and that he has embraced us, he has cleansed us with his blood, and the Holy Spirit within his Word cleanses our spirit and keeps us strong. And he, by faith, if we receive his Word, it just keeps pouring more and more faith into our hearts. Our heart must feed on the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus. And so that's what Jesus means when he says we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. We must drink the Word, keep pouring that seed, which is Christ, which is the Word of God, into our heart. Just keep feeding and feeding and feeding the Word of God into our heart, the Holy Spirit, until Christ is firmly planted in our heart. And when he's planted, Christ grows up into us, and we have to be careful about how we hear, because we know that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus stated, that when the good seed is sown into our hearts, that Satan immediately, not a few hours later, but instantly comes and attempts to take that good word out of our heart. And we have to guard our heart, because out of it are
the issues of life.
The issues of life. If life is sent into us, then we have to dispense, as the Holy Spirit dispenses from us into other people's hearts, the seed, the word, the issues of life. The issues of life you are able to read every day or to listen to every day, so that faith grows in you. Yes, we're all given the portion of faith. However, the Word, by feeding on the Word of God, feeding on Christ, in other words, the body and the blood of Christ, we are nourished with God. We are filled with God's Spirit, and we become one, totally one. And the more of him that's in us, the more we are of him. And we become perfect and holy. And don't you believe anyone if they say that you're not perfect. You can't be perfect. But there's a actual way, a method by which the Lord allows us to be perfect. And that's the way of life. And we'll get into that later. There's the pathway of life. Okay, so let's keep going with the book of Revelation, chapter 1.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Right, because... Now, if you hear the word of God and you allow Satan to snatch those words out of your body, but it says there's no blessing on your life. But if you receive the word of God into you, into your heart, and you keep the word, that's the actual truth of it. So take heed what you hear and how you're hearing it. When I'm preaching the gospel here, you have to do what the word says. You have to guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Life is only in Christ. So therefore, life is only in the seed. The seed is God. God is the Word. And so the life is only in Christ, who is also the seed and who is also the Word of God. Then what?
John to the seven churches which are in Asia.
Now here, the Lord is talking to the seven churches that are in Asia at that time. Now what?
Grace, power be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Okay, now we mentioned the seven spirits that were before him. Amen.
Amen.
And this is the compounded Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be able to live in this world today with all the degradation that happens to Christians, true Christians. We're degraded every day. Like they like to call us cults. You ought to see the ones that are calling us cults. If your spiritual eyes could open up and see the demons that are in those people that are calling us cults, you'd scream your head off if you saw the real. Some of them look pretty nice. They comb their hairs real nice. They dress up real nice. They got beautiful costumes on. But they're devils. So go ahead.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead.
Now, he's the first begotten of the dead. That means he's the first one that was a human being, that was transformed a human being, and then taken up into the kingdom of heaven. He has a transformed body, all right, and a glorified body, because he was dead and rose from the dead. So when people will say, well, Enoch was raised. No, he didn't. Enoch never died. And Elijah never died until he came into the world as John the Baptist. And then he died, but he never resurrected from the dead, from his body. And his body is still in the grave, his bones. But Christ rose from the dead. He is the first begotten from the dead, from among the dead. And he's in the kingdom of heaven right now. And even people that are in the kingdom of heaven, their spirits, their bodies are still laying in their graves, or they're sprinkled all over the earth or in the ocean or wherever they got themselves sprinkled. Okay, then what?
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth.
He's the prince of the kings of the earth. And this is not talking about secular kings. This is talking about he has made us kings and priests. He's talking about that we are kings and priests, spiritual. That he's given us a certain domain in this world to witness to people, that he works through us into certain areas. So we are the actual king of that particular district that the Lord has allowed us to be a witness of. Some of us that have more truth, or that have dedicated our lives to more study, or for whatever reason, the Lord has given us the ability or the gifts of discernment, or how to teach, preach, write, be pastor of, or whatever, because I never knew these things before, and so I get no glory for what I know. It's all was that given to me by the Lord, and therefore I just praise and thank the Lord for it, and it's for whatever he gave you or me or anyone else. It's for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of the bride of Christ, his bride. So that he wants to wash us in the Word. The Word cleanses us and purges us of, and that's why I preach the gospel, to purge the old wives' tales out of you and the false doctrines that you've been taught and all these other things. And this is why the world and all the religions hate me, is because, and they hated Christ. And what they're hating is not actually me, it's the Christ in me that's preaching the same Word that he did and his apostles and prophets did. And so it's the Word of God that is offensive to those people in the world that are going to perish. They're going to spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire, and they're going to be screaming their heads off. And, you know, we pray for those people that they are saved. Now keep going.
Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
See, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, the Bible talks about us being a pearl of great price. Well, you could take the way that pearls are developed, because oysters in the ocean. And some people say, well, God never created a pearl, because the way that a pearl is created is that a little rock, a little stone or something, gets into the shell of the pearl, and say a piece of sand even, and then the juices from it's irritating to the oyster, and the juices keep secreting its different juices upon this piece of rock, or a little piece of rock, or a little piece of sand, and then all of a sudden it turns into a pearl. That's how pearls are developed in an oyster. And so it's very much like the way that the Lord, he enters into us, and into this world, rather. He entered into the world, and he was died on the cross. And then he started excreting his blood around us, and washed us and purged us with his blood and the word, you know, and the blood. And pretty soon we become the pearl of great price. Amen?
Amen.
So it's very much like that. I'm just saying it in a nutshell. It goes into more detail than that, and I'll get into that later. But now let's go ahead. So he washed us. Read that sentence again. He washed us. He secreted his own precious blood on the cross to wash us from our sins, so that he could make us as a matter of fact, he died for the purpose of making us his pearl of great price. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. So people should be thankful for the blood of Jesus, because without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, none of us would be saved. Amen. He paid the full price for us with his life. He couldn't give anything more than his life. You can't buy eternal life with money. You can't buy it by doing good deeds. It must be the blood of Jesus secreted all around you to make you and polish you and keep you sin-free in order to become the pearl of great price. All right? That's easy enough to understand, isn't it?
Amen.
And if you would like to find out for sure, look up in the internet how a pearl is made, and you'll see. Now, they have man-made pearls, but they're not real. Anyway, okay, then what?
Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father.
Yeah, so we're a king unto God. God has designated different domains. Some of us have small little towns. Some of us have medium-sized towns. Some of us just a church congregation. Smaller, and some a whole town or city, and that some of us do a whole state, and some the whole United States, and some several countries, and some of us we have been given jurisdiction over much of the world, and some of us maybe all the world. Okay, like this broadcast is heard everywhere in the world. Okay, then what?
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, Amen.
Right. And the Lord also has given us power and dominion over everything, including every devil, over every disease, over every sickness, over every infirmity, and over poverty, over despair or despondency or gloom. He has given us power and dominion over that we can suffer all these things, but we're able to continue on in him, because we first of all, we don't have to be sick. He gives us he gives us all the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven, everything. Now God upholds his the whole universe with his word, with his spirit, and so when his spirit is in us, he uplifts us to where we have his power, the actual power of the Almighty God in us. And there's no devil that you should not resist, because the Bible tells us, resist the devil, which comes in the form of sickness, disease, infirmities, temptations of all sorts, and he will flee from you, and you will be have perfect peace and a sound mind. So all the power of God is given unto us and dominion over this world. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Satan is the god of this world, but we have power and dominion over him because he stole it away from us by saying that this power does not belong to us, that we can have the power ourselves without Christ, the virtue of having Christ in us, in our midst. But this was a lie, and Eve believed it, and therefore all of humanity was cursed because we have the Adamic sin on our souls. All right, then go ahead.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him.
So there's all kinds of phonies to the world that say they're Christ and all that. But did you see them come in the clouds?
No.
Did you see everybody drop to their knees and confess him as King of King and Lord of Lord?
No.
These people are kooks. They're actually not even good counterfeits. When Christ comes, he gives us the knowledge of how he's going to come. Behold, he cometh in clouds, and every eye will see him. That means that he's going to fill the whole universe. He's not going to be the little man that he was when he was here like us, but he's going to loom all over the universe, and he says every eye will see him. Well, it could be. People say, you know, that a TV camera will be on him coming back to Earth. No, it's going to be more dramatic than that, I guarantee you, because people say, well, that's just, Warner Brothers or something that's doing this, and they do that with Superman or something. No, every eye will see him. Blind eyes will open. It says every eye, amen?
Amen.
They're going to see him coming. Behold, he cometh in clouds, with clouds, and every eye, read that again.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.
Right, so the dead are going to wake up. Every eyeball is going to see him. It doesn't matter if they were blind before. Every eye, and the word of God is absolutely true. Well, how can that happen? You doubt the power of God. He's so powerful, all the dead are going to wake up. From the noise of the shout, the shriek of the archangel. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega.
This is Jesus talking now. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Okay, go ahead.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John,
so Jesus is saying, I'm the Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
So those that don't believe that Jesus is God, he says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the Almighty. I was here, I was dead, and behold, I am alive now forevermore. I have risen from the dead. I'm not in a coffin in some cave someplace. I'm here in heaven right now, and I'm coming back. So don't be looking for me in any cave or any coffin. That won't happen. All right? Because it's not scriptural. And the people that are saying this are unsaved. They don't know the word of God. They don't know anything about spiritual things. And so you should just... It'd be better for you to turn on Lassie on your TV set or Bozo. Okay? Because these people that are talking are full of hot air. Full of beans. Okay? Then what?
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience.
See, I'm your companion in tribulation, yet you've got all kinds of people saying, no, we're to live the good life. You're not supposed to be living in tribulation. He says, all of us that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and tribulation. All kinds of character assassination, all these things. All sorts of offenses. Everything is that if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Okay? So these people that are preaching all that garbage are leading people into the ditch. They're blind, and their words are so comforting to people that are this ignorant and deceived. They don't pick up their Bibles to see that they're preaching a lie. Yes, the Lord blesses us, But not, you know, by giving us enough money to send our kids to these corrupt universities and things and to do all these things. God gives people money that are good stewards, that will spend the money on winning souls, not to a bunch of people that are going to live the good life, like you hear some of these phony preachers preach. The good life, it means that you just thank and praise the Lord no matter what you're going through, that the Lord is living in the midst of you, that He's the hub in you and you're the rim and the tire. Amen. But not you alone, but the whole church. The Lord never died to just live in one person. He wants a building to live in, and it says that all those people that are precious stones, the ones that God called to be members of a corporate body, not just one body to live in, but a corporate body for God to live in. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's wife, the church, the New Jerusalem. Okay, then what?
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ.
Okay, read that again.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation.
Oh, well, I thought it said the good life. I, John, who am your companion and brother in the good life?
In tribulation.
In tribulation. Well, no, we're supposed to live the good life and enjoy everyday life. Can't you see if you read the Word of God? So I want to be with John the Revelator, you know, the Amen. Apostle John and Peter and Paul and all these people. You see, companion in the good life, huh? About that, Creflo. Okay, then what?
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos.
Yeah, what was he doing on the Isle of Patmos? First they tried to boil him in oil and he didn't boil good, so they put him out there on the Isle of Patmos and they separated him from all most living creatures so that he couldn't get the gospel out. This is the work of the devil, Satan's church, the Vatican. They want to stifle God's word, and they want to stifle you, if you're a true born-again Christian, and me. But more than this, he wants to stifle the entire church of God. Okay, because the church of God is the building that God lives in, that Christ lives in. He's the head. And we're the body. Do you think that Christ, the head, who is persecuted and nailed to the cross, and everything, that his body's going to get a pass down here? No. They're not going to chocolate-cover marshmallows for us and drop them into our mouth, and if they tried to, I'd spit them out. Okay, then what?
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God.
Yeah, so I was put in prison for the word of God. But now the world is saying, well, he's a jailbird. And I told you yesterday in the message that so is Jesus and John. Here he is put in prison over there on the Isle of Patmos. He's an ex-convict, Jesus, and the Apostle Paul and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of those saints were persecuted and imprisoned. So those of you that have not, and don't be trying to get into prison, don't worry, if you're really doing the work of the Lord, you'll get persecuted. I can tell you that. Even to this very hour, I'm being persecuted vehemently. Terribly. There isn't a day that goes by that my life is not threatened. Even the federal government has been trying, is hiring people to try to murder me. Not kill me. Murder is a plot. Okay, then go ahead.
Was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
He's in there because of the word of God. He's preaching it and because the testimony that he is for the Lord, that the Lord's living in him. Then what?
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Okay, here's Jesus concerned about the church, because that's his body. He has to be concerned about us, the church, not just you individually, but us as a church. And he wants them all to get together. He sees all these different things that are good by these different churches, but there's still something. He's seeking perfection. You're doing good and everything, but you have left your first love. You've left your first love. I remember that first love, you know, comes into you and you just want to get the word out. I went to every newspaper and radio station and told them to get it on the air. Jesus is coming back to earth again. And I went down to the streets and pulled all the different characters off the street and brought them over to Seuss. I took gospel literature and I was putting on automobiles everywhere. There's this zeal, it's a love to tell people about the Lord. If you don't have that love in you, then Christ is not in you. He's not in you. Okay, then what?
And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man.
Okay, now, the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And the Son of Man happens to be Jesus. He was the Son of Man, but he was also the Son of God. And he's also God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he's in there, in the midst. Remember how Jesus is the in the midst of the church? All the flying saucers, the wheel, the hub that's inside the wheel, that is right in the midst of the seven churches. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool.
Okay, this is the way that the Lord appeared to him there. It's like the wisdom is found in the elderly people, not the youth. The youth are absolutely void, most of them, of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They just can't have it. It's impossible, as young as they are. Then what?
His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet...
See, there it is again, just like a flame of fire in the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter, talking about fire and like lightning. Amen?
Amen.
Quick speed. Like the eagle, strong as a bull, stronger than a bull by far, but the bull is symbolic of strength, okay? And then this eagle, swift as an eagle. Then what?
His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass.
Brass is the power, strong metal. Then what?
As if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters.
So there it is again, the voice of many waters. As it is mentioned in also the first chapter of Ezekiel, it's showing Christ in the midst of his church, the wheel within the wheel. Amen?
Amen.
And here it is right in the first chapter also of Revelation. And then what?
And he had in his right hand seven stars.
Seven stars. Okay, then what?
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
The two-edged sword is the word of God. All Christians are born again, of the Spirit Christians know that. It doesn't mean that it's like tares. No, the enemy sows tares into the church, and it's not leaven. It can't be leaven, false doctrine, or it can't be tares like the enemy sows in and tries to mingle leaven into the Word of God. To where it's not the Word of God, it's it comes up as a little herb, but then all of a sudden it turns into a tree. You know, we're the rulers of this world, you know, we're taking the place over, and by George, you better listen to us, and all that sort of stuff. And the Lord is meek and lowly, amen?
Amen.
And he is just the pure Word of God. And God deals with his people, and God knows how to get the, you read the Word and study it, and receive it and believe it. Okay, then what else? And then it'll work in you. The Word is the Lord, and he'll work in you. Then what?
And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Okay, there it's the same thing in the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter. It says that he sparkles. It's like, you know, it's like brightness of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that...
I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And the Word was with God, and the Word, as a matter of fact, was God. So he was the first. The first thing was the Word. In the I am the first, the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And the last. I'm the last Word, too. Amen?
Amen.
I'm the first Word and the last Word. Then what?
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Yeah, that's only the Lord can say that, and those that are part of his body, that are members of his body, the corporate body of Christ. Then what?
And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
The seven churches, and Jesus, the Son of Man, walking in the midst of them, the wheel within the wheel is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Does that explain it pretty good?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's chapter one. If the Lord will let me, I'll do chapter two tomorrow, when the Lord is reproving all these churches or complimenting them on the things that they're doing, but he says, you have to be perfect. You have to be perfect. Now, he says, and you've lost your zeal. And if you don't get zealous, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now, this is not some dignified God talking, you know, where everything is. He's like threatening. Amen?
Amen.
He says, or I'll take, he says, if you don't get back to your first love, I'm going to take your church, take your candlestick away. I'll take your church and put an end to it. Amen?
Amen.
So you people that are pastors, and you're supposed to be teaching your church to be zealous. Amen?
Amen.
And to be not unscriptural. Don't be feeding them your garbage because you want to sin. And so you're trying to condition the church that will support you. And you can be doing all sorts of evil things, and the people will then, you're teaching them that that is the proper thing to do. Okay? That is why these scriptures are put together the way they are. Well, so I'm speaking with regard, the Bible says, to Christ and the church. This part of the word helps us to see the pearl of great price. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, see, we are the Lord's pearl of great price. He is the one that is the sower. He has sowed the word into the world, and we all came to him as the church, and he gave his life for us. And so now he says our reasonable duty is to give our life for him. The Bible says that. And if you don't, you can't enter in, because he wants you to be perfect. That means he has to be in you, and you have to be in him. My time is up, and so I pray that you'll say this prayer so that you can be part of the corporate body of Christ. Say to the Lord now, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. All power in heaven and earth belongs to me, Jesus said. I'm going to yank you right out of the dead, right from the midst of the death that you're living, your dead life, and let's put that dead life to an end. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, Lord, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you also will turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling upon you, Lord. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank and praise your holy name for saving my soul. Now, just praise and thank the Lord, and keep praising and thanking the Lord, And then get yourself baptized in the fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then be filled with the Holy Spirit, the seven concentrated, compounded Spirit of the Lord, the complete Spirit of God. Everything is in that Spirit of God. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this program. Please make sure that you mention program or tape 352 or CD 352.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Here's the Life Choir. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, turn in for another powerful message in the truth of the Lord. Here's the Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.